Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Kyle, the student of the game. To my right, Weasel and Chris, here to bring you Week 16 action. You can kind of see that the playoff puzzle is starting to get closer and closer to being solved. You can kind of see what direction it's going. At this point, if you're going to put an age on the side of the box for the playoff picture puzzle right there, it'd probably be like 5 and up at this point, rather than, for adults or something, right? But, need those really big pieces. I'm reaching way too far for this joke, but that's okay. You know what was reaching way too far? Thinking that the Panthers had a chance to beat the Steelers this past Thursday. Weasel, go.
The Steelers at home defeated the Panthers 27-3. For the Steelers, Big Ben Roethlisberger was 22 of 32, 68%, 320 yards, 1 touchdown, no INTs. He lost the fumble and was sacked 3 times. In the running game, Rashard Mendenhall had 18 rushes for 65 yards, 3.6 average, with a touchdown. Isaac Redman lost the fumble but had 5 for 43, 8.6 average. Moldy Moore had 4 for 5, and Big Ben had 6 scrambles for 2 yards, but he didn't have a touchdown. For the receiving game, Mike Wallace had 4 catches for 104 yards and a touchdown. Tight end Keith Miller had 5 for 73. Rookie wide receiver Emmanuel Sanders had 4 for 54. Hines Ward had 3 for 38. And rookie wide receiver Antonio Brown had 2 for 20. For the Panthers, rookie quarterback Jimmy Clausen was 10 of 23, 43%, 72 yards, no touchdowns, 1 INT. He was sacked 4 times. In the running game, Jonathan Stewart had 18 rushes for 71 yards, 3.9 average. Mike Goodson lost a fumble on a kickoff, but had 4 for 3. In the receiving game, Goodson had 2 catches for 23 yards, Steve Smith had 3 for 17, and tight end Jeff King had 2 for 15.
Yeah, that's a pretty short evaluation, and likely so we'll add this to it. I'm looking at a picture of Jimmy Clausen. You might want to do the same. Here's your toss-up. Bigger forehead, Jimmy Clausen or Rusty Smith of the Titans?
I think Rusty Smith wins that award.
I agree. Chris? Yeah, Rusty. Okay, yeah. Hey, we had to do something to make that game interesting. Huh? So speaking of other games that turned out to be a complete and total waste of time, the Patriots faced off against the Buffalo Bills. These storied rivalry was wicked close as the Patriots prevailed in a nail-biting 34-3 victory. The Golden Boy, Tom Brady, went 15 completions for 27 attempts, 56%, 140 yards with 3 touchdowns. The Ryan Fitzpatrick, the quarterback for the Bills, went 18 completions for 37 attempts, 49%, 251 yards, 3 interceptions, 2 lost fumbles, single-handedly responsible for 5, count them, 5 turnovers. On the ground for the Patriots, Ben Jarvis Green Ellis, the firm, goes 19 carries for 140 yards, 5.5 a carry. Danny Woodhead got 13 carries for 93 yards and a touchdown, 7.2 yards a carry. On the ground for the Bills, the leading rusher was Fred Jackson, who had 13 carries for 81 yards, 6.2 a carry. And C.J. Spiller had 6 carries for 30 yards, however, lost 2 fumbles. Naaman Roosevelt led the air attack for the Bills with 4 catches for 74 receiving yards, and Stevie Johnson had 5 catches, 58 yards. In the air for the Patriots, Ron Gronkowski had 4 catches for 54 yards with 2 touchdowns, and Alger Crumpler caught a touchdown on a 4-yard pass. So a big day for tight ends, which again, in New England. Look, I know I'm going through this game wicked fast, and people everywhere are like, Cal, where's all the stats? Like, they're down to sandwich. Look, here's the stat you need, folks. Turnovers. 0 for the Patriots, 7 for the Bills. I'm out. Next game. Actually, unfortunately, fans, we have another blowout for you. This one, though, had a lot more tied to it as there were lots of playoff implications on the line for Giants and the Packers. Chris.
Aaron Rodgers returns to the lineup from his concussion through 9 different receivers, and the Packers smacked the Giants 45-17 and now holds a tiebreaker with the Giants. For the Giants, Eli Manning, 17 of 33, 52%, 301 yards, 2 touchdowns, and his interceptions of 4. He was sacked 1 time. That was an impersonation of Brett Favre there for an adjustment.
It's not an impersonation, it's a retirement tribute, I hope.
For the Packers, Aaron Rodgers, 25 of 37, 68%, 404 yards, 4 touchdowns, no interceptions, no fumbles, he was sacked twice. For the Giants, Brandon Jacobs, 8 carries, 47 yards, with a lost fumble.
Oops.
That was 5.9 a carry. He did have a long of 21, which brings it down to 3.7. Ahmad Bradshaw, 12 for 31, 2.6 a carry with a lost fumble. For the Packers, Brandon Jackson, 18 for 39, 2.2. Dimitri Nance, 9 for 32, a 3.6. Aaron Rodgers, 2 for 26, 13-yard average. And John Kuhn, 6 for 22, 3.7 average with 2 touchdowns. Through the air is Giants Mario Manningham, 4 catches, 132 yards, 1 touchdown. Hakeem Nicks, 4 for 93 with a touchdown. Ahmad Bradshaw, 5 for 41. DJ Ware and Derek Hagan both had 2 catches.
A very retarded 85-yard catch, too, where he just basically, you pardon the expression, outmanned the Packer DB in single coverage. Was it Collins? Oh, that was ownership. There better be a damn poster for that. That was ridiculous. I'm just saying.
And for the Packers through the air, Greg Jennings, 7 for 142. Jordy Nelson, 4 for 124 yards. 1 touchdown. He also lost a fumble. Donald Driver, 3 for 44. James Jones, 4 for 36. John Kuhn, 2 for 7 with a touchdown. And tight end Donald Lee, 2 for 4 with a touchdown. Tom Crabtree and Andrew Corliss, Brady Jackson all had a catch. They moved it down to 9. First downs, you know, Green Bay more yards. 515 yards Green Bay put on the Giants. 27 first downs. They had 1 turnover to the Giants' 6. Time of possession, they had 14 more minutes. Third downs, they were 6 for 13, 4 for 12.
Which, considering 4 interceptions, 4 for 12 isn't terrible.
Right.
You know, it showed signs of life, which I think earlier in the game, I mean, the Giants were down 14-0 and were threatening to get back in the game, and then it just kind of fell apart all over again.
Yeah. On the Giants' first possession of the game, they were forced to punt. Rookie Matt Dodge had a 25-yard punt that went out of bounds to the Green Bay 20.
Oh,
he
sure.
He was just a week too late for that punt.
Now you show up.
But then in the very next play, Aaron Rodgers hit Jordy Nelson on a seam route that he outran the Giants for an 80-yard touchdown.
That's busy, that. Yeah. You know, there are 2 meltdowns for which the Giants are responsible. Obviously, there's this one, and then actually 3 meltdowns. The first time they played the Eagles, they lost because they turned the ball over 5 times. And then there's that whole 28 points in the fourth quarter thing where we decided to dodge last week, right? Look, dude, the Giants are a playoff team until they play against themselves. I'm just saying.
Yeah, I mean, 6 turnovers to 1, they ain't gonna help there.
I mean, in those 3 games that we cited, how many turnovers took place? I know it's about 15 of them, right? So, you know.
Oh, great.
Yeah, anyways, so with that, we head over to our fourth game of the day, if I can read which one it is in my notes. Please, if you know what it is, just go ahead and tell me.
The Dolphins lost at home to the Lions 34-27, which put their home record tied for a franchise low at 1-7. For the passing game for the Dolphins, Chad Henne was 29-44, 65%, 278 yards, 1 touchdown, 2 INTs. Both of those were fourth quarter interceptions. More on that later. He was sacked twice. For the running game, Ricky Williams had 14 rushes for 71 yards, 5.1 average. Ronnie Brown had 12 for 37, 3.1 average with a touchdown. Henne had 5 scrambles for 14 yards. Fullback Musaka Polite, whatever you want to call
it. Well, see, yeah, it's spelled polite, but I insist on calling it Polite because that is not a polite fullback. Fullbacks aren't polite. That's not what they do.
It's
like
called
Polite. We needed a Hispanic presence of some sort ever since Greg Camarillo left. So, Polite! Anyway, right.
He had 4 for 12 with a touchdown. In the receiving game, Brandon Marshall, 10 catches for 102 yards. Rookie tight end Mickey Schuler had 2 for 44. Devon Best lost a fumble but had 5 for 34 with a touchdown. Ronnie Brown had 6 for 34. Said Anthony Vassano had 2 for 31 and Ricky Williams had 2 for 21. For the Lions, Sean Hill was 14 of 26, 53%, 222 yards, 2 touchdowns, no INTs. He was sacked twice. In the running game, rookie running back Javid Best had 6 rushes for 24 yards, 4 yards per attempt. Maurice Morris had 12 for 22, 1.8 average, but he did have a touchdown. For the receiving game, tight end Brandon Pettigrew had 4 catches for 74 yards and a touchdown. Javid Best had a 53-yard touchdown reception. Calvin Johnson, a.k.a. Megatron, had 4 for 52. Tight end Tony Schaffler had a 15-yard catch. Maurice Morris added 2 for 13. With 5 minutes remaining in the game, the Lions got the ball down by 10 at their own 47-yard line. First play of that drive, 53-yard touchdown pass to Javon Des. Up by 3, the Dolphins got the ball back, but on the third down, Haney was intercepted by Lions quarterback Nathan Vasher.
Nathan Vasher, yes, you may know that name. I believe that's the DB that was tackled by Roethlisberger many years back in one of their Super Bowl years.
The Lions go 3 and out, but they do get a field goal out of it. With the score tied at 27-all, Haney faced a 3rd-and-8 at their own 22-yard line, and Haney throws another interception, but this one was returned for a touchdown by middle linebacker DeAndre Levy. The Dolphins get the ball back down 7 with 2 minutes remaining in the game, driving to the Lions' 28-yard line, but the Dolphins ran out of time when Vasher was tackled. When Vasher tackled Ronnie Brown, but he could not get to the sideline to stop the clock, and it wasn't only the Vasher that stopped the Dolphins from getting off that snap.
Yeah, the umpire got involved. Where it's like the way they position the umpire or whatever, but so he couldn't get the ball back to the line fast enough. The clock ran out before the ref set the ball down, and so the Finns couldn't get off their last snap. But you can't really blame them for that. I don't really think it changed the outcome of the game, but, you know, yeah, whatever. That's just kind of weak. But then again, you know, being 1-7 in your own house is pretty darn weak, too. Speaking of other things that are weak, I cite to you the Washington Redskins in such a desperate strait that they find themselves sitting Donovan McNabb. The Jags need this win to stay in the race in the AFC South, and were unable to do so as they lost 20-17 to the Skins in overtime. Jags were actually, in fact, at home, I believe, on this game. Let me look that up real quick. That broke the rule! It's not fair, man.
No.
Anyways, so, speaking of other things that aren't fair, McNabb sitting the bench in lieu of sexy Rexy Grossman. Really? Gross. Anyways, so yeah, 19 completions, 39 yards, something else that's gross, 49% completion rate. I'm just saying, 182 yards with a touchdown and an INT. David Garrard for the Jags, however, had 22 completions for 38 yards, 58%, 290 yards with a touchdown. A good stat line until you get to 2 interceptions. More on that later. Ryan Terrain on the ground for the Skins had 20 carries for 65 yards, 3.25 a carry with a touchdown. On the ground for the Jags, without Maurice Jones-Drew, kind of injured in their production, pardon the pun, 6 carries, 39 yards, 6.5 a carry with a touchdown. Rashad Jennings had 15 carries for 32 yards of his own on the ground at 2.1 a carry. The receiving core for the Skins, Santana Moss, 5 catches, 85 yards, and Chris Cooley, 5 catches, 48 yards. Tight end Fred Davis also had 2 catches for 10 yards with a touchdown. Mike Thomas of the Jags had 6 catches for 96 yards and a touchdown. But the deciding factor for me was a lot of big stepping up on defense. More sacks by the Skins. They had 4 to the Jags 1, which really didn't occur until very late in the game to set up overtime. So Jags defense kind of going to sleep, and then there's no mojo. A little bit of a picture of why the Skins were able to force it to overtime. And during the overtime, one of Garrard's 2 interceptions set up the winning field goal for the Skins as he threw it like within his own 30-yard line. Game over. Skins win. Jags out of the playoff picture. And, well, actually, they aren't necessarily out of the playoff picture. It depends on how the Colts do. We'll talk about that later, though. For now, we're going to move on to one of Chris's games. Chris, what you got next?
The Bucks are trying to make a playoff push, and they kept their playoff hopes alive by beating a weak NFC division team, Seattle Seahawks, 38-50.
Hey, one Florida team actually trying to make the playoffs. Check that out.
The Seahawks, Matt Hasselbeck, was 3-for-4 for 75%, 24 yards, but he left the game injured.
I was about to say, they only threw the ball 4 times?
in came Charlie Whitehurst, who was 11-for-18, 61%, 66 yards. He was sacked 3 times. He had no other stats besides that. For the Bucks, Josh Freeman, 21-for-26, 81%, 237 yards, 5 touchdowns. He was sacked twice.
Busy day.
And Josh Johnson was 2-for-2, for 15 yards. On the ground, Marshawn Lynch had 14-for-53, 3.8 average. He did have a long of 29, so that brings it down to 1.8.
Awesome.
Yeah. Leon Washington had 1 for 16. Justin Forsett had 8 for 12. And Matt Hasselbeck had 1 carry, 1 yard for 1 touchdown.
And that's what put him out
of
the game.
That's what put him out of the game. For the Bucks, LeGarrette Blount had 18 for 164.
The fighter.
Yeah, 9.1 average. He did have a long of 53 and a 48-yard run to take those two out at the 3.3.
And actually, that 48-yard run being a track race in the high hurdles as he completely jumped over a corner who was attempting to tackle.
Safety.
Or safety, thank you.
It was, what is it, Martin?
I didn't catch who it was.
Malloy?
Oh, it was Malloy's brother. Malloy. It wasn't, it wasn't Malloy. No, it wasn't Lawyer Malloy. Oh. No, I think Lawyer Malloy finally retired. It was,
I was like, he's still playing? Mm-hmm. I knew it was Malloy, though. I was like, wow.
I mean, anyway, I don't know if that related.
Was a 48-yard carry. That was a hurdle. It was impressive. Josh Freeman had 4 carries for 23 yards, and Cadillac Williams, 4 for 21, 5.3 a carry. But he did have a long of 15, so that was 3 for 6, which is 2 yards a carry. So it looks kind of more like Pontiac with 3 carries.
Yeah. Well, it took him a while to get started, that's all.
Through the air, John Carlson, 3 for 27. Golden Tate, 3 for 10. Ben Obamanu, 2 for 18. Mike Williams, 2 for 15. And Justin Forsett, 2 for 5.
Can we call him Tarnish Tate? Because having Golden as a first name is just lame. I'm just saying. Tarnish Tate, I like that.
For the Bucks, Kellen Winslow at 7 for 98 with 2 touchdowns. Rookie Mike Williams, 3 for 44 with 2 touchdowns. Carrick Williams, 3 for 22. Maurice Stovall, 3 for 12 with a touchdown, and Desmond Briscoe, 2 for 28. For looking, breaking it down, I mean, basically, the Bucks manhandled them all over the place. I mean, 22 first downs to 10.
There you go. I was hoping you got that.
439 yards to 174 yards. Neither team had a turnover. Third down was 5 for 15, 6 for 11 for the Bucks. Time of possession, 28.5 to 31.5. But the Bucks can still get in the playoffs if the Green Bay loses to the Bears, the Giants lose to Washington, and they beat the Saints.
So, with help.
Yeah.
And oh, by the way, once you get the help, you got to beat the defending champions. I'm just saying. That's just kind of rough. So, speaking of teams that were in the process of getting some help, the Colts, having beaten the Jags recently 1-on-1. Had a chance to pull ahead after the 1 o'clock game where the Jags lost in overtime. And they would do so, toppling the Raiders 31-26. Now, Manning had 2 interceptions in the game, but he still managed to propel his team to victory, going 16 for 30, 53%, 179 yards with 3 touchdowns. Jason Campbell, who was running the helm for the Raiders, had 29 completions on 42 attempts, 69%.
All right.
I almost misread that as a 64. That would have been unfortunate. 231 yards with a touchdown. However, something present that the Colts have this week that they don't normally, a running attack. Former Florida Tusker / Indianapolis Colt / Raider, Dominique Rhodes.
So would that be the present Indianapolis Colt, who was formerly known as Tusker's running back, formerly known as the Raiders running back, formerly known as the Colts running back?
That's even long if you put all that into an acronym. That's ridiculous. But yes, that. Dominique Rhodes, 17 carries, 98 yards, 5.8 a carry. Joseph Addai had 12 carries for 45 yards, 3.75 a carry with a touchdown. Donald Brown had 6 carries for 28 yards at 4.3. But the most interesting of all, folks, a play that some sportscasters didn't even know was in the playbook. Towards the end of the game, to run out the clock, Peyton Manning makes a call for an audible at the line. He fakes the handoff to, I believe it was a die on this play. The defense follows, and Peyton Manning boots around to the left for a 26-yard run. Now, he had 25 yards running for the day, but actually, he probably could have been like 28 and a touchdown, but he slid to run out the clock. But in any case, Peyton Manning, probably his longest run, certainly for this year, probably for his career, that would include college. Possibly high school. Anyways.
But you know, they ran that play before a couple of years ago with him on the goal line inside the 10.
Yeah, but it wasn't for 25
know.
Yards.
I know, but it was a bootleg. But and everyone was pulled in, too. They're like, oh, Peyton's not going to run.
Man,
he's like, no, there's no one
ball.
Here.
You know, I mean, here's what I think it was, because he knows in the film room, you know, he saw Tebow run all over him for that 40-yard run he had last week. He's like, well, Tebow can do it. I'm saying, right? Anyways, speaking of running efforts, the best running effort the Raiders could muster was Darren McFadden, who had 11 carries for 45 yards and 4.1 a carry. In the air for the Raiders, tight end Zach Miller had 9 carries for 66 yards and a touchdown. Darius Hayward-Bey had 4 catches for 40 yards. In the air for the Colts, tight end Jacob Tammy, 7 catches, 78 yards with a touchdown. Reggie Wayne had 3 catches for 40 yards of his own, while Pierre Garçon had 3 catches for 35 yards and a touchdown, and Blair White, 2 catches, 20 yards with a touchdown. Looking at the third down completion percentage, it's pretty even there. The Colts actually turned the ball over more, but the deciding stat here, once again, it comes down to how many first downs they got. 27 compared to 16. You're moving the ball like that, you keep your hopes alive, which the Colts officially do for their division win and to remain the fourth seed in the AFC conference. So that means they're going to guarantee to host a playoff game, and probably talk a little bit more about that later. With that, we head over to another game that had possible playoff impact, as the Bears faced off against the Jets.
The Bears squeaked by another team, 38-34 over the Jets. While the Jets backed their way into the playoffs, even if they did lose, since the Jags lost, they're automatically in.
That's correct.
Through the air, Mark Sanchez, 44-37, 65%, 269 yards, 1 touchdown, 1 interception. And the Bears, Jay Cutler, 13-25, 52%, 215 yards, 3 touchdowns, 1 INT, and he was sacked twice. On the ground, Sean Green, 12-70, 5.8 a carry with a touchdown. He did have a long of 18, so that brings it down to 4.7. And LaDainian Tomlinson, 13-28, 2.2 a carry with a touchdown. Santonio Holmes had 1-3, and they lost a fumble on the play, which led to a Bears touchdown. For the Bears, Matt Forte, 19-113 yards, 5.9 a carry. With a touchdown, he did have a long of 32 that brings down 4.5. That was the first time this season the Jets gave up over 100 yards rushing. It's last week's Mendon Hall that dropped that 1 yard down for that messed up play, dropped it down to 99. Jay Cutler had 4-3 with a touchdown. Through the air, Dustin Keller 7-79. Braylon Edwards, 6-78. Santonio Holmes, 4-69.
Oh, right.
With a touchdown.
He had a 69 and a score. Hi-yo!
But you score every time you get a 69.
That's why he's funny.
LaDainian Tomlinson and Sean Green each had 2 catches for 14 yards. For the Bears, Johnny Knox! Had 4-92 with 2 touchdowns. Matt Forte, 4-56. Devin Hester, 3-48 with a touchdown.
You know, as overrated as the Bears are, I am not going to hate on Johnny Knox. Not for a minute. At least one of his touchdown catches, his 40-yarder, yeah, it's just absolutely retarded. I think Cutler owes him not just a beer, but for this season, I think he should just go to Sam's and buy him a case. I'm just saying.
So, looking on paper, it looks like the Jets outplayed him. I mean, Jets 24 first downs, the Chicago 16. 393 yards, 322 turnovers, 2 were for the Jets. 1 was for the Bears. Time of possession, 33-51 for the Jets, 26-09 for the Bears. Third down, the Jets were 7-14, 50%. Chicago was 3-9, 33%. The turning point of this game was the Jets' first possession in the second half when they went for a fake punt. There's still Sanchez on the field. I don't know how you can fake a punt when you have your kicker on the field.
Yeah, your quarterback's still on the field.
Went for it, a 4th-and-1. Which he missed through, I think it was Jericho Cotchery, or Brad Smith, it was Brad Smith. And they were at their own 40.
They were
up 24-17 at the time.
Didn't they see what happened to the Jags last week when they tried that against the Colts?
The very first play, Cutler hit Johnny Knox on a 40-yard touchdown. That was a 40-yard touchdown.
Johnny Knox!
Well, so that tied it 24-24.
And yeah, for my money, you know, I'm looking at the stat sheet along with you here. I see I see a 32-yard play by Matt Forte on the ground. I see a 40-yard catch by Johnny Knox. I see a 25-yard play by Devin Hester. I see another 26-yard play. But you see the theme here? Big plays are the problem for the Jets here, especially in this game. I don't know. I thought the Jets were designed to prevent that.
Yeah, the last few weeks have shown the weakness of losing Jim Leonard out there to safety. I mean, a 25-yard catch by Devin Hester was for a touchdown.
Mm-hmm.
A 40-yard by Johnny Knox was for a touchdown. I mean, where Jim Leonard would be over the top, you know, he was the heart and soul of that defense.
Well, in all honesty, one of those was to the outside, so he may not have been on that. But, yeah, we talked about last week his impact, or should I say now, lack thereof, because he's hurt, but yeah. I mean, yeah, we'll leave that at that. I mean, 50% on third down completions and you lose?
Yeah, I mean, it was that two turnovers, but then also, you know, that fourth and one, that was a momentum change. Football's all about momentum. You come out, you're on your own 40, and you go for it, you're up by seven.
Two other things I wanted to cite for big plays as well. Punt return by Devin Hester of 38 yards. Kickoff return by Devin Hester of 40 yards as well. So two more big plays.
Yeah, that 38-yard punt return was after the Bears scored on that 40-yard touchdown strike after they went for it from fourth and one.
Okay.
The Jets went three and out and punted right to Devin Hester, and he had that 38-yard return, and then they scored a touchdown on that drive.
So, yeah, I mean,
so that's, you know, that was the whole momentum thing right there. That's 14-point swing right there.
Not to take anything from Johnny Knox's awesome catches, but, and, you know, for those of you like, oh, but Cal, what about Jay Cutler? He threw 52%. No, not even a little bit. Okay, deal. I will give Matt Forte his props, though. There's a reason why I drafted him for Weasel's Fantasy team. I'm just saying. So, anyways, normally this is the time we go to study hall, but unfortunately the teachers fooled you all. There's a pop quiz. Oh no! And I didn't give you another chance to study. I'm such a bastard. This week, going to be a series of essay questions regarding the coaching status of many coaches in the NFL. Starting off with, because it's my show, Mike Singletary getting fired today by the 49ers. So Mike Singletary getting fired. Fair or not? Weasel.
I believe he's only in his second year. And
two and a half, if you count as the interim year.
So, I mean, the 49ers are in a very weak division, and they just haven't been pulling off their wins. So, I would have gave him another year, or at least finish off this year, but maybe also because he didn't get Donovan McNabb. So.
More on that in a second. What? Chris.
Yeah, I'd say he should have gotten another year. He always been quarterback for a coach 3 years. He should anyway.
Well, they haven't. I mean, yeah, no one's been doing that lately.
Right.
Yeah.
But, I mean, he made this make-minute draft last year of getting two offensive linemen at the beginning to solidify the line, which it has shown.
Mm-hmm.
And this year, they need to go for the quarterback. Again, they don't have a quarterback there. They haven't seen the draft or a free agent.
Highly likely that he is. If not, you're probably seeing Kyle Orton if Tim Tebow continues to perform anything else better than the Smiths.
Right.
Not that Kyle Orton's
so
a great option.
I would give him one more year with getting a quarterback in there and seeing. And then if he struggled last year with getting a new quarterback in there in the system, then yeah, but right now it's a little premature.
That's an excellent response, especially when I add this little tidbit here to it as well. Last year, Niners were on the in the hunt for the playoffs. Would have been the first time they made it in 7 years if they had made it last year. On the strength of some BS play by Favre pulling some pass out of his butt that shouldn't even have enough time to take place on the clock. At the very last second of the game. You know what I'm talking about, sellout.
Yeah.
And then after holding Peyton Manning for the first time, like the first game in 8 games, he didn't throw a touchdown on a gadget play by Joseph Addai throwing a touchdown pass. They were forced out of the playoffs last year. Okay, fine, whatever. This year, one game was the difference. Okay? The defending champions, air quotes, beat the Niners 31-28 despite the Niners having 4 turnovers. But they're going to blame that on Singletary. And well, the safety was a bad snap. So yeah, there you go. That's essentially a fifth turnover. That's a good point. But who does he have? Yes, Frank Gowen, Vernon Davis, and Michael Crabtree maybe is great. He's got a solid D. Guess why he's there? Solid D. I get it. But you're gonna blame this guy? When you look to the cupboard and what you got is Alex Smith, Troy Smith, and David Carr? Really? Come on, man. Anyway, so somebody just scored a really badass defensive coordinator. And you know what, Niners? I'm a fan of your team, but you better pray you don't play that team because you're going to get effed up. You're going to get, to quote another Monday Night thing, jacked up. I'm just saying. With that, let's see. There's been a lot of speculation around Giants coach Tom Coughlin. Talked about it a little bit last week, but I'll go ahead and swing this one just to you, Chris, so you can weigh in on it. Do you really think he should even be considered for firing?
No, I don't think so at all.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they're, 9-6 right now?
They're still in the hunt.
I mean, yeah, you could put last week's game... this week too. I mean, they get manhandled by the Packers.
Well, the Packers were just pissed. I mean,
right. I mean, it goes down to, I mean, that one right there. It's more towards. I mean, you got like an offensive coordinator last week. I mean, you're up by 21 points with 8.5 minutes. You can't move the ball. You've been moving all game long.
You know, or how about, you know, 7.5 quarters, you've been containing Michael Vick, and then all of a sudden he's running all over you.
Right. I mean, yeah, it goes back to offense and defense, but then also, I mean, Eli Manning, I mean, 22 interceptions for the year?
Not to mention there's a lot of fumbles on this team, too, that have taken place as well. Let's call that what it is.
Yeah. I mean, Brandon Jackson yesterday, but when he was running down the side, the guy came from behind.
I saw that. And, you know, anyways, so...
No, I don't think so. I don't think he should have been forced out in Jacksonville when he was.
Me too, man.
You know, and he knows how to build teams. I think he shouldn't even be considered.
So you don't feel left out. Weasel, Donovan McNabb is likely a free agent. Should the Niners be competing with the Vikings for that spot?
Definitely the Niners should be going after him.
What do you want, the Vikings?
No. Did you hear the question? Should the Niners be competing with the Vikings?
Yes.
For Donovan McNabb. So they both should be in the race.
Yes,
there you go.
Does.
Now you got the question. So now that you understand the question, I think you're ready to study it. I know it's kind of backwards. But anyways, to the study hall we go. So what are we looking at for records this week?
You're 5-3, Weasel 6-2, and I was 6-2. So Weasel has a 3-game lead over you and a 5-game lead over me. Right now,
so creeping up, 1 game left. Weasel needs to tank.
And we have...
Are we going to count playoffs on this too?
We can. As well.
Okay, we'll count playoffs.
Well,
too.
We got 8 games next week plus the 2 that haven't taken place yet this week.
That's right. There's still 2 more.
We all got the Eagles, and you 2 had the Falcons, and I got the Saints.
So yeah,
could make a change for me to go 4 down going into next week, or 6 down.
Or I could end up being in a place where I could still be last place this season, as I called I would be when we started doing this in week 2.
Right.
So, with that uplifting note, let's go ahead off. Now, by Weasel's request, because he thinks he's the jam, he's going to pick all the games first.
Yeah, okay, so, Weasel. Giants at Redskins.
Giants, they were supposed to show up against the Packers. Didn't, but they really need this game, and they're going up most likely against Rex Grossman.
Sexy Rexy!
I got the Giants.
Are you still hot for Farrah, Weasel? Come on now. come on now. And look, man, Sexy Rexy's going to get all screwed up by Umanura and Tuck and company, man. Let's not even talk about it.
Yeah, I got the Giants off.
There's a shot.
I was thinking about going... I was thinking about going all opposite.
That would be funny.
just to go, but if we're going playoffs, you know... Well,
playoffs?
Maybe.
That would have been funny.
Playoffs? I just want to win a week. Anyways, next game.
Bucks at Saints. Important game, NFC South. Bucks need the win.
I'll tell you what. This is one of those where the ESPN staff has a big advantage on us because they're playing the Monday night game tonight. And whether they win that and clinch the division, or I guess they're still playing for the 50 maybe. Not the division, I beg your pardon. Falcons have
six.
That, yeah.
They're playing for six, regardless. Well, Saints are playing for fifth.
Yeah, I'm getting that backwards. Yeah. That's a huge game.
Saints are playing for the fifth. If the Saints win tonight,
they're still in the hunt, yeah. Oh,
locked? They're locked.
Okay.
But the Bucs can beat the Saints next week. And if Green Bay loses and the Giants lose, the Bucs win.
So, it could be a potential situation where they both need the game very badly. Wow. Oh, yeah, you go first. Weasel.
That is a tough game. I'm going to go with the upset. I'll go Bucks.
Chris.
You know, even though I picked the Saints tonight to win, I'm feeling they're going to lose. They're going to need next week to make sure they clinch whatever they think.
You know, if you go through your history a number of years, there have been games like this before between the Bucks and the Saints, and it seems to me that the team that needed it more always seemed to win that game. However, I don't see the Bucks having enough defense. I got the Saints.
I think they're
10-4,
so I think they might already be in there.
You know, let's check the old standings there before we move on.
I think
that, that might change my pick. Well, like, if they got nothing to play for, I'm
sorry. All right, as you're doing that, we'll go through the next one because I'm going to write this all down. We're all going to pick the Steelers over the Browns.
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
That's very efficient of you, Chris, by all the
right.
way. And, yes, yeah, they are indeed 10-4.
So they're already in.
They aren't marked as clinched yet. So they could
win tonight, they clinch.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, they could still lose and get knocked out. If they lose, they could still get knocked out by the Packers and Giants, apparently. Let me check their conference record. No, that's not true either. I don't know what's going on there.
They haven't clinched yet, but, I mean...
They're pretty much.
I guess they go down the tiebreaker since they didn't play against the Giants or the Packers. So, if they lose tonight, lose next week.
Well, the tiebreaker is the conference record, and they're doing better than both teams. Like, they clinched being better than both teams on it. They're 8-2, and the best that the other teams can hope to go is 8-4 on the 8-2. Okay, they got the outcome of the next game. They still got two more games. So, yeah, they could still blow it in tiebreakers. That's a true statement. Okay. Even still, wow. You know what? I'm still picking the Saints. I said it.
Vikings at Lions.
Weasel.
Like it matters, but
I already got you down for the week.
Well, I may have to reconsider that. But looks like Joe Webber will be playing, but I may as well put down the Vikings.
Alright. I got the Lions on that.
Nice.
You know what? Me too. You saying, oh, who cares? You know what the problem is? All the Vikings staff feels that way. The Lions obviously give a damn in the past few games they've been playing. I got the Lions.
Yeah. Yeah.
Titans at Colts.
Just give me the Colts.
Yeah, I'm going to have to say that too.
You know.
The Colts may not need it, but the Titans are such a dumpster fire.
You know what? I'm going to go with
Titans on this one. Oh, Lord. That,
nice.
You're going to pay for that.
I know, but you know what? It's last week. And
nice.
You got to make good gambles, though, bro.
Yeah, but, you know, Chris Johnson next week will have a game. He had a shitty week this week. Or
the past few weeks.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't mean, he had a crappy week this week. Bears at Packers.
Can I say just up front, biggest game of the week? Not because I know the Bears already have it, but this could determine for, well, we'll make the picks first.
Bears are playing for first round bye.
Yeah.
You know, Packers are playing for a spot in.
Yeah.
So, you know, both teams are going to show up.
Depending on the Eagles, if they beat the Vikings on Tuesday, then the Bears will have something to play for, and then they'll be playing for that first-round bye. So, it's tough to pick against the Packers, but...
But he's going to because he likes Nana.
Yeah, I'll go with the Bears. All right.
Just take it for what it's worth. Here's what I know, okay? I know that the Packers shot themselves in the first foot the first time they played, okay? I've been talking all this garbage. I'm in a quarter now where I can't pick against the Packers. Not to mention, I saw what they did to the Patriots with a backup quarterback where it took a fat man returning a ball 71 yards to beat them. I saw what they did to the Giants, no offense, Chris. I am not sold on the Bears. I'm still not sold on the Bears. Give me something. I got the Packers.
You know what? I picked the Packers to win the Super Bowl. Win the Super Bowl. All of it.
Oh, you picked them. Oh, I thought you picked them to just get there.
No, I had them win it.
Oh, okay.
I had them beating the Jets.
Okay. That's right.
So
that's right.
I had the Giants on the outside looking in the playoffs. They didn't make the playoffs. So the Packers need to win because they're on the outside. Because for the Giants, to get my position, I'm going with the Packers just because I want to pick.
All right.
That's amazing. Wow.
Because I had it as my team. I had, well, I had the Niners, but.
We all raped that one.
Yeah, NFC West. But I had the Falcons and the Saints in. I didn't have the Bears, though.
Nobody had the Bears. The Bears don't belong in there.
I had, you know, I had the Cowboys. Actually, I think I had the Vikings. You know, everyone thought the Vikings. You know. Vikings, I had the Cowboys. You know, those two teams.
Yeah, tank.
But then I had Green Bay. And,
speaking of teams that tanked, the Chargers losing to the Bengals have officially knocked him out of playoff contention. Yeah, Philip Rivers is a fraud, and I'm happy that he's finally revealed. That is all. Yeah. Next game.
Jags at Texans.
At?
At Texans.
Ooh, weasel.
I'll get the Jags on it.
Wow, breaking rules.
I don't got any rules.
I'm keeping with my rule. I'm going with the Texans because Texans got hosed the first time to play against them this year on that Hail Mary.
Yeah, that's a true statement.
They knocked it down in there, and then also
Mojo may be out.
Yeah,
actually, you've already said my reason for picking the Texans. Yeah. It's because of Mojo missing. I'm sure. Look, this is a secondary where Tebow has threw 300 yards, and it gives them a chance until you know they don't got Mojo.
Last game, Pins at Pack.
Anybody picking the Fins?
Pats.
I'm going with Fins.
All right.
Because it's away. Hey, look. Okay, look.
You know the Pats are going to play, even though they clinch.
If you pick that game, you deserve to get the game up. I got the damn Pats.
Yeah.
I'm picking the Fins because I also want them to go 1-7 at home and 7-1 on the road.
Nice.
And that's it.
So that'll round it out for this week's edition of the Student of the Game. You can always check out the website, www.thestudentofthegame.com. Go ahead and drop a comment on one of the podcasts. You can follow us on subscribe to us on iTunes. Follow us on Twitter at TheSOTG. You can also shoot us an email at TheSOTG@gmail.com. So until next week, the biggest week of the year where we have the Week 17 review, the playoff preview, and the season awards. All that coming at you. Big week next week. Do not miss it, or else you will be officially declared that guy. See you then.